All right. Would you join me in a flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is a public meeting of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. I declare notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act and that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, Courier News, Hunter Review, and the Star Ledger. Could I have a roll call, please?
Sure. Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Here.
Councilwoman Switlick is absent. Council President Malloy?
Here.
And Mayor Higgins?
Here.
And we have a quorum.
Thank you. First item on the docket is consent. Looks like two pretty easy ones, accepting, you know, it always strikes me as funny that we have to have a resolution to take money. Nonetheless, we do want the $5,500 for the distracted driving driver crackdown, and we do want to release a performance guarantee of $10,000, I think. Any discussion or questions?
Nope.
Could I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. Our first public comment period is now. We have a second one later in the meeting if the comments aren't going to be relevant to anything we discuss at the meeting tonight. Nope. Okay. Everybody's looking at the floor more or less. So let's move on to reports.
All right. Clinton Township Board of Ed, there is a strategic planning meeting on Thursday, April 25th, and their regular monthly meeting is scheduled for Monday, the 29th. There's been no action, since before the last time we met till now. I did attend last Thursday the Environmental Commission meeting, which was held here. Those meetings, I tell you, there's a lot on the agenda, believe it or not, and they're very informative and full. It's a good way to describe it, full. So just things of pertinent that I'll bring forward is, of course, I've talked about in the past that they're planning Community Day, attending there. They have a stream restoration day also in the works, and as well as a tree planting day that and tree cleanup day, which is stream cleanup day, which is April 13th.
If you could give us, do you have a date for that?
The stream cleanup is April 13th.
April 13th, okay. That might be really interesting. Do you have any idea where it's going to be?
Yes, I believe it's over, but I'll get confirmation on that, Mayor. Over by Hamden Road, where it crosses over that Hamden Road into Franklin Township, that area there.
Okay.
I believe.
That's also the Easter egg hunt. Correct.
Well, I'm of an age where I probably would prefer to help
you with
the
same
than chase down Easter eggs.
You have to do both.
Oh, wait a minute. All right. Yeah.
No, that's fine. So I will confirm, and I'll send that out to Carla or Jess to circulate it amongst.
That'd be great, Mark.
That's
thank
no
you.
Problem. And also looking to update, sort of like an internal audit, making sure that we're doing everything as a way of annual reporting, transparency, and open space inventory, or ERI, which we discussed a few meetings ago, and also looking at a mission statement. So. That's about it as it relates to the Environmental Commission. Like I said, always a full agenda and always a lot going on.
You've got a good professional in charge, so it's
yep, absolutely.
It's good to hear, but not too surprising. Mr. Kaczynowski.
So I'm only on the planning board, but if I could add to Mark's things, the Easter egg hunt is the 13th. The little kids, CTMS, I believe, is where it's being held. And the strategic planning for the school is, the third meeting is the 25th. If everyone could go, that'd be great. I think we need to support them in their endeavors trying to get things done. I'm sure we all have the email for that, but that's the third of the third meetings. The first two meetings, the summaries of those are online. So if you want to be educated, that's where you go to know what the issues are. As far as planning board, not much happened. They did install the branches of the trees by the recycling center. A lot more branches than I thought.
Kind of looks like a sequoia.
It does, until you look at the top and it's got the antennas there. But I'm going to tell them next time they're in. What would really make it look good is if they put like 50 of them up. One would be the antenna, and the rest would just be like the forest. Or that's just, really,
you know, plant some real ones. You know,
you know, that's a good idea.
100 years or so.
Yeah, right.
Right in.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't have anything else.
All right. Yeah, no, I was at the same planning board meeting, and you know, it is at activity is at pretty much low ebb at this point. My only report is some interesting notes that we got. We were congratulated by Mike Daugherty, our state senator, for getting a $175,000 grant. And on let's get the dates right. On March 25th. We heard from the commissioner, Diane, I can never pronounce her last name, but anyway, the DOT commissioner's verifying we got it. But then on...
two different projects.
Are they two different projects?
We had two separate submittals. One was for...
Both for Grey Rock?
One's for Fulton.
No, they're both Grey Rock.
Here, this one. Grey Rock, Fairview, right. Farview, Fulper, and yeah. Fulper Alley, which is all on the
this is the
McDonald's
other
side
of...
This is the
other piece of Grey Rock.
And,
okay.
Yep.
I was going to have some fun with the DOT.
No.
All right.
No.
So we got one out of two.
Yep.
Fair enough. Thank you for the explanation. That's all I had, really.
I attended the Sewer Authority meeting last week. They had a number of capacity requests, one being for 6th West Street, which is also known colloquially to us as the old municipal building. And really, essentially, it's less of a capacity request than it is just dealing with how to have them connect to the sewer, and they're still working that out with the applicant's engineer. We are going to have to do an agreement transferring sewer capacity from the township. I don't know the total EDUs. They're supposed to confirm that for us, but we're going to have to transfer those units from the township's kitty, so to speak, to the developer, and then they can endorse it and give them the connection when the time comes. So that took up quite a bit of their time. They're also looking at the church properties trying to connect as well. So it's all tied in together. There was another application for Hamden Road where they are trying to steer the applicant away from connecting to a forced main because it's going to cause them all sorts of problems. So I think that owner is going to have to look for a different solution. And then lastly, they had a return of a unit, I believe, from 107 Annandale Highbridge, where they had, I think I might have the number wrong, but there was an applicant who had paid for years for two units because they had a multifamily home. No longer multifamily, had stopped being that, and the new owner moved in, and they're getting credited back for that. They're also going to scope the Mews. They've had some issues with finding certain items in the pump station at the Mews.
Yeah.
It's gotten better, but there's still a lot of odd. I mean, there are a lot of units up there, so they get a fair amount of stuff. And then lastly, they're looking at converting some of what they call comminuter, which ashes up all the solids, to trash baskets because it'll be less expensive for them to manage. On a planning board note, I did happen to speak with Dennis Bertland today.
Oh, good.
And he had this afternoon already sent a reply, had coordinated with our planner, and they should be, if they don't have what they need now for the old municipal building to come before the planning board for final approval, they will shortly.
Oh, terrific. I mean, for general information, there are just two items remaining before we can move before the redeveloper can move forward with the old muni building. One is the routing of the sewer lines, which Brian also mentioned, and then of course, final touches on the historic, the restoration of the historic part of the old Muni building, a very small piece. That'll be a restaurant with two units over, so I think everybody's anxious to have them appear.
We'd like to get it cleaned up, and we'd like to have it back on the tax rolls. Mm-hmm. A very nice double whammy. So.
Oh, and convenience, you know, a paved parking lot, the neighborhood with lighting.
And the church. So. Yep. And so. That is really all. Melissa might reach out to you, Jess, about utilizing some of our IT, mm-hmm. kind of going in together. They have the need for a couple OneDrive kind of Microsoft
licenses,
and okay. they were. I suggested instead of them paying a full rate, maybe they okay. use extra ones of ours.
Yeah, just while we're talking about old Muni, we do have to transfer the surge capacity, but you know that's all calculated. It's final. It's done. We also have to do a subdivision, and I'm presuming that both of those activities would happen just after the final approval of the planning board. And I also presume that as soon as the project is finally approved, in some cases we ask the building code official to make believe that the resolution is perfected and signed, and issue at least in this case demolition permits so that we can get going and really start to clean the place up. So,
you know, along those lines, the property thing, Chris has all the background on that, and I'm sure Triska has it too. But mm-hmm. there's a slice of land, what do they call it, a wedge or a?
It's a
gore. A gore. A gore. Yeah.
Oh, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. It's a 13-foot piece of pie.
So that's all done. I mean, we have to do it.
Yes.
But it's all, okay. Yeah. Draft it up.
So you're ready for us to move on that?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, soon, hopefully.
After the planning board gives it.
Once the imprimatur is there, we'll know for sure. But it looks like a 50-50 split. So the developer gets 6.5, and I think the neighbor to the north gets 6.
That's it. Right.
Okay, good. That's really good progress. I mean, this has been
a couple of years.
It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
And we're very, very close now. And you know, I was picking up some garden supplies this week, and one of the neighbors got me in the corner. It's like people are beginning to think, did you make all this up, or is it really going to happen? So I just can't wait for it to happen. So, anyways.
So, we're doing the bid for the cleanup of Windy Acres. That was a real pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. I was out there again today with our engineer and his crew doing the flyover filming.
Oh, good.
You know, for the Environmental Commission for our webpage. And it is aptly named. It was windy and cold up there.
So windy.
But we're up there, and that's going to be a great thing. We'll have that posted up for a YouTube kind of thing for our webpage shortly. But when we get that mess cleaned up, I think it's a real asset to the township. We're going to do a lot of good stuff up there. And then, you know, we're going to talk about other things going down the road for the pavilion electricity and, you know, pavilion water well. It has to be re-energized. So that's all in the works. Budget we're introducing. We're getting our finances back in order slowly but surely, and it's just going to take another year or two to get where we should be. Mm-hmm. On that note, I signed some paper today from Green Acres for money for Caulfield.
Long-awaited.
Huh?
Long-awaited.
Yeah, long-awaited, so that's good news. And then the capital budget, I think Jay and Bob and I will present that in one of the May meetings, where we're going with roads and not overlays and patching and plans for the future. Couple of items in there that we have the funds for this year that haven't been done yet. The garage is at Public Works. We're having trouble getting anybody to do the work. But anyway, we'll do that in May. The exercise for the rescue squad was awesome. I know three of you were there, and they were very appreciative to get a full day of intense. That was really intense training. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was amazing. Did you see it on TV?
It was no, I couldn't find the
Channel 39.
I couldn't find the link. You'll have to send it.
Okay, yeah. It was good.
We should put it up on the web.
Yeah, we can probably figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
But it was good. They're very appreciative. And I have the CERT team is interested. And I said, well, you got to get up there before we start tearing things down. But they'd like to do something up there. And they're working on that. So We have, the good news is funding for open space from the state and the county. Our reimbursements are coming back for that shortly.
Now, on the CalFelt, the 875, I know we filed a couple of extra, there were a couple of extra pages from the deed that were missing, so we
they're
filed
in.
That.
They're done.
So it's,
again, we've done it again. So it's good.
All right.
But I signed the form today and sent it back for payment.
Perfect.
So that's good.
Good.
We did a drone flyover. We were going to do that on the exercise day, but we was up today with the engineer and his crew flying, doing a drone photo mapping of Windy Acres. So we showed the trails, proposed trails, before and after pictures of the farmstead. It's a mess now. It's going to be open space clean shortly. And I think that's going to be really a good thing. We could put that on the webpage and get that out there. It's good publicity, and the park is beautiful. And it's aptly named, I'm telling you. Snowing and freezing.
Every time I've been there.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Even in the summer and the spring, it's windy.
Yeah. The vents here will be cleaned on Good Friday. They haven't been cleaned in a while, and they need it. And then we'll finish up cleaning. Not too bad in here. A lot of the ceiling tiles have to be cleaned up from leaks and stuff. But that's happening shortly. Recreation is busy. We talked about the egg hunt. The fun run at Bunt Park. We're going to have Community Day, which is going to be awesome. I think we've got a good one planned for this year.
April 27th.
Hopefully the weather will be nice and warm, and, you know, it'll be good. The park is shaping up. They're cleaning up things, mowing things, getting everything set up, patching some driveway areas. But that'll be good. And Robert, our OEM coordinator, we're scheduled a meeting for later this month for the police, fire, rescue to go over really where we are and some of the items. He's got a good agenda set up just to get the discussions going and start talking about it.
Good.
Haven't had an exercise in years, so we'll get some ideas to do something maybe later in the summer when it's warmer and do a drill. So parking lot for the court, the paperwork with Exxon, the final paperwork between the lawyers is going back. I think we're done. We had their draft. Trishka made some suggestions, and we got those back. So they're working on that. Hopefully we get that done this year, too.
Oh, that'd be great.
New parking area right out along the road.
Finally, we won't have problems on court Wednesdays. Oh,
yeah. We could make money on that, though. You know, we tow people.
Yeah. Put a gate hard.
We get the narcotics.
Yeah. To park, so
I don't know. A drug dog comes.
Well, yeah.
Make real money. The drug drop-off boxes we've been talking about for a while. So we've got two in the works. One is coming for Community Day, a portable one that'll be at Bunt Park through
the DEA.
And then we've got another one from Rite Aid, actually, is donating one for downstairs. It's a heavy duty, boxed up a drug drop off. And we can either take it down, wrap it in evidence bags, or the prosecutor or the sheriff's office, I think, volunteered to come and get it when it's full. So that's good. We've been working on it for a while. In the drone flight, I talked about that, so it's been a busy couple weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, before I forget, talking about Windy Acres, I don't know if everybody knows, but Petowitz Coleman is for sale, and I think the listing price is $13 million. And we've, it's a 150,000 square foot of factory and about 20
of... Yeah. Well, I thought you meant just their open space.
No. The whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel. Wow. And we've been working with the county folks and working with the broker to see if we could be helpful in, you know, kind of moving it along. And we've had several meetings with them, so my hope is if we continue to work nicely together, we might somehow get access rights over that lovely bridge so we can get into Windy Acres on the west side. So we'll see how that goes, but it's active. There's been a number of folks looking at it.
So I've had some calls, too, inquiries and...
Mm-hmm.
On what's allowed, what's not, and that's good.
Yeah.
Good. Are they just closing shop?
Well, it's just Petowitz has a warehouse in Branchburg, which is not full, so they say they can pick up and move that stuff. And I mean, there's big things.
Yeah.
But apparently they can relocate fairly quickly, and it's for sale, completely. But there's a welding outfit that is very interested, and he has run himself out of space. There was a building on Route 12 westbound on the north side. It was called Lutz Steel, a big blue building, about 3 or 4 miles east of Frenchtown. And he's filled that place up, and now he's looking for, you know, another parcel. Not the entire thing, but, it could be 20, 30,000 square feet at least. And it's started, sort of populating it and helping.
So is Pettiwitz no longer really operating out of there?
Oh, they're operating out of there, but there's not a lot of movement. It's it's large, very, very large industrial equipment that
not a lot of traffic anymore.
That'll be something good to let the neighbors know when they're not really.
Well, it's quieted down.
Yeah, a lot.
It's quieted down. You know, there was one particular neighbor who had a real bugbear about noise, and she's relocated, as I understand.
I meant really for the traffic.
The trucks.
The Plaza Hill.
Oh, excuse me, sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Brian, is that what you were saying, about the truck traffic and access in and out? That's what I was thinking, the same thing.
They are pretty good. They're not perfect, but they're supposed to make a right-hand turn and go down by the hot dog place to make a westbound turn for Route 22. It's not 100%.
It'll ease some of the concern, I think, if I can let them know. So I will let Ms. Nolan know that is in the works.
Good.
And if we can get an update from DOT, beat it out.
Well, the DOT has been in some personnel turnover, so the project managers keep changing. They've been out there. They've done the studies. You know, we've requested a turn lane, and that's in the works. As of yesterday or this morning, it's being reviewed again, actively reviewed. So I have to wait some more. But their latest proposal actually would make everything good if they go through with it.
So they spent about a week out there putting in curbs on the turns, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, what are they doing? I didn't see anything wrong with what was there before. I'm not saying it wasn't broken up, but how are they making decisions?
They're doing work before they decide how to change it.
Yeah, but I mean, they could have taken whatever those resources were and put it towards our project.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, it's...
Why do we have crosswalks in the middle of nowhere?
That's the predecessor to paving eastbound out to Reddington. Mm. So it would have been nice if our little turn lane could have been integrated into that work.
I mean, the machinery is there and everything.
What can I tell you? Their time frames seem to be... I think the fancy word is apocal. They're not exactly... 5 years is a quick planning execution cycle.
They have a 7-year cycle.
Yeah,
they plan 7 years.
Governor Murphy's going to figure that out.
So that's all I know.
I think he's going to drain that swamp.
Maybe one or two others.
Sir, I've thought about this long and hard today, and much to everyone's chagrin, I have nothing to report.
I haven't had a chance to look at the data you sent today, but I will.
I apologize for being a little bit late, but it's there. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. I was going to talk about the drop boxes, but Jess touched on that, and that's certainly something we've been thinking about and talking. We got the Rite Aid call out of the blue, if I'm not mistaken, right? So right as we were between last meeting and this meeting, someone reached out to us, and that's how things work. But I don't really have anything to report.
Well, you know what I was going to mention? The just so council knows, the quiet zone for Hampden Road, the railroad crossing, is still chugging along a little bit, and I believe we're doing a week-long traffic count.
That is complete. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. That is complete, and in fact, Sergeant Bigel's downstairs right now because you have to download and kind of get the information from the machine, I guess, and that's a real treat, I guess. But
I had a little glitch with the software.
Yeah.
But I was just talking to him before I walked up here, and he's getting it now.
Well, looking at the Federal Railroad Administration site, the way things work, they a safety rating for a rail crossing is dependent upon train and car traffic, and they just plug numbers in. So for most rural intersections, they plug 500 cars a day in. And if there really are 500 cars a day, the required improvements are impossible. They're $200,000-$400,000. However, if the number of average cars per day gets below at 200 or below, that moves the safety rating to a point where, at least in my opinion, subject to an engineer actually spending the money with the engineer to do the study, reviewing the data and the methodology, it would appear that we would be in, just like Branchburg. You'd have to, and Branchburg did something where they generated a quiet zone for 36,000. The town kicked in 6, the neighbors kicked in 30 to install 3 specific devices. And so my hope is, without influencing the numbers, that it comes out somewhere in that realm because the neighbors feel they can raise, you know, the necessary money if it gets down to that point. So, but that's the background.
Ryan, was there? I heard there's a change in the how we can use the dog for sniffing. Does that affect our training of the dog?
I haven't heard of that. What specifically did you hear?
That the dog can't be used for certain narcotics and stuff.
I don't know if that's a change statewide. I know that the dog gets trained on certain narcotics, and I guess it's a matter of preference or which class you go into to get trained. But I have not heard of like a statewide ban or removal of certain training.
Okay.
I think what you're talking about is if pot is going to be legal here one of these years, if not this year. So a lot of the places are not training the dogs to smoke pot anymore. Just
right.
Narcotics.
That might have been.
They'll have false alerts, and then if the car's got pot and heroin, they throw everything out because the dog alerted on the pot, not the heroin. That's kind of, I think, where you're coming from.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah.
So if they do legalize marijuana, our dog could be useless.
No, he's not being trained for it. I just see.
Oh,
he's only
not.
Trained for narcotics, yes.
Okay. That's good.
Okay.
Well, and I just want to add to that, too. I guess there were some phases to the training.
Yeah.
And the first phase was what's called patrol, which is for missing persons, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe crowd control or tracking suspects.
Take down.
The dog's already done with that. And then the second phase, I believe, is narcotics.
Right. You should be graduating in about a month.
With the narcotics?
With everything. It'll be done.
Right, so
it'll be a community day.
Okay.
But I hear your point. Your point is, you know, marijuana is a pretty popular drug, and if it's illegal, then the dog's going to have a lot more work with marijuana being illegal than it being legal. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I would think that there's a lot of other functions that the dog can perform, and I'm pretty certain of that.
Interesting. Do you think, do you know what kinds of narcotics the dog could actually smell because...
I know the dog can smell cocaine.
Really?
Heroin? You can smell cocaine.
in my...
Don't say anything.
In a prior life, I was responsible for making it for the United States. I could never smell it, even like 50 kilos of it.
If there's enough, I've smelled it before.
Yes.
I've had other officers who have smelled it before.
Really?
People don't believe you, but you can smell it. The dog can do heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Good methamphetamine. Good question about money, because now a lot of the money is if it's got marijuana on it. Frankly, Tom, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how that's all going to play out. Right. I would agree with you.
You're charging, just keep the money.
Trying to think of other drugs that the dog can smell.
I think most pills, pot, hash, cocaine, and heroin, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But the tracking piece is good, too. That's important.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Which he's already been used.
I was just going to say, I think we've used them once already.
Yeah, and I do remember Ryman Herr and, yep. You know, the folks from Reddington lending us their dog.
Oh, yeah, that was a couple years ago there.
Yeah.
I guess, not to beat the horse, but... If the dog is trained to smell marijuana and cocaine, right, that's what I'm understanding.
No, it's not being trained.
Not marijuana.
No, just no marijuana.
Oh.
It's the other stuff.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're wasting our time. We get false
alerts. Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
I'm good.
All right. Interesting. Well, that's a better than usual discussion for not having anything to say.
Right. I guess I didn't think hard enough.
Okay. Oh, let's move on to resolutions.
But I'll add, that's my favorite kind of topic. So anytime we want to talk about this stuff, I like this stuff.
My confusion is, Jess said narcotics. I wasn't really sure what that entailed. Obviously, it doesn't include marijuana. So that's my ignorance there. I just got educated. Good thing I don't know that, I guess.
Yeah, you don't want too much experience.
Yeah.
The thought is, though, Tom, even though the dog isn't going to be trained to detect marijuana, just think how busy it's going to be, because it'll be one of the few dogs that's not in the area.
Mm. Right.
Oh, so yeah.
You think it's not going to be busy? It's going to be busy, because all the other dogs are going to be shut down now.
Right, like the prosecutor's dog.
Yep. Reddington's right. Dogs.
They try, yeah. You know, they can be
state retrained. Police dogs, the DOC dogs. Now you're going to have one that's unique.
Can those dogs be retrained?
No, they're shot.
They're done? Even if they're, yeah. They're younger? No. Oh, that's right, because they'll always false alert.
Marijuana for life.
Yep. That's right.
Oh, yeah, it came up yesterday at the Friendly Sounds of St. Patrick, because I think they're donating a vest for our dogs. Yeah.
I believe they are.
Right, and Murray is his last name. He's at the emergency in Kingwood.
All right.
What's his first name? I can't think. He's the one who was bringing that up. He wanted someone to check.
It muddies the water. It definitely does.
They could be retrained for narcotics and cocaine, too, if they already have pot, right?
Yeah. You can add.
You can't. So in other words, right, if it doesn't come out that they can't be trained for marijuana, you know, it doesn't get legalized.
Yeah.
They're fine.
You can say, okay, we'll send you back for that.
Yeah. So it's not a total loss.
You can add. Yeah. You can't subtract.
Right.
And that's like saying, you know, I don't want to smell pizza anymore for the rest of my life.
Yeah, right.
You know, you'll always smell it.
And I also add, too, one of the uses for the dog, too, are demonstrations. Like at Community Day and at different tanks.
I smell pizza.
So I hope to keep the dog busy. I want to keep the dog busy.
Yeah, it sounds like come May, June, you might
get the
really
reverse
busy.
Effect if yeah. that happens.
Be very popular.
Okay. Now we'll move on to resolutions. First one is, I think, very routine. It's a governing body certification of compliance with the United States EEOC enforcement guidance on the consideration of arrest and conviction records and employment decisions under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So it's a certification that we will obey the law.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
I don't think we need a roll call for that one.
Oh.
No, it's not mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in that case, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you. Next item up is a resolution authorizing the application to Hunterdon County for municipal open space grant for the Calfelt property. And we've gotten 2 years' worth of money from the county on this, 300 and some odd thousand.
When I first started.
Correct. Yeah. And this would kind of fill it out.
This year, yes.
Yeah. So it's worth $137,155.77. I hope nobody objects to asking the county to provide this money. If there's no discussion, could I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Now. Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Council President Miller?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Now, here's another one. This is a resolution. It's it's approval to execute a grant contract with the New Jersey Department of Transportation for Gray Rock, Fairview, Fulper, and Fulper Alley improvements in the amount of $175,000. It's the third year in a row we've gotten a grant. We got $240,000 each in the last 2 years. So I know our engineer was very surprised for two in a row. Three in a row is terrific. So any discussion on that?
Gas taxes at work.
Yeah, amen.
I guess. Yes.
I hope it stays sequestered over there for these kinds of purposes.
Yeah.
And they don't find a way out. All right. I'll make the motion.
Second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. And this next one, it's awarding a contract for demolition work at Windy Acres. I think we had floated a borrowing to support this a while back. And, you know, the bids ranged from $162,000 down to $75,000, so... We, of course, chose the lowest bid, and that's a lot of structures to, you know, be gotten rid of for that amount of money. So it seems like a good deal, and it's a necessary thing to do to eliminate some attractive nuisances out there. Any discussion? Or
I just add that they were hazards before, and with the drill, we probably made them even more so. So it's something I think we need to do.
Yes.
This is very true.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Who said that first?
Mr. Kachanowski.
I didn't recognize the voice. Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Council President Malay?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Now we're up to the introduction of ordinances. And maybe I can just say this in a plenary way. All public hearings on all of these action items will be on May 8. And it's likely we will not have, we're going to cancel the next council meeting.
April 24th.
Yeah. Combination of agenda items and ability to assemble a quorum. Okay. The first one is Ordinance 1129-819, calendar year 2019 ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank. Again, this is an annual, very routine item, so I don't have any particular discussion.
As I understand it, Jess, this applies to appropriations within the cap, correct?
Yeah.
So basically what happens is, and we're not doing it in this budget, there's a 2% cap on how much you can spend within certain items are excluded. Capital is excluded, that sort of thing. And if you don't meet the annual cost of inflation, which is probably around 2%, then you're allowed to cap bank that cap delta and carry it forward for a number of years, 2 or 3 years, I think. So for the last few years, we haven't, I don't believe, spent to the 2% cap on appropriations.
That's good.
Yeah.
This is more of a routine action?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just it's like a just-in-case kind of a thing.
You're allowed to use it. It's similar to the cap bank that you're allowed to have for the tax levy as well. If you don't utilize the entirety of your tax 2% cap, you can carry it forward, and conceivably in a few years you could,
if you need to use
6%. Yeah. Of an
and you have to do this before the budget.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, school board has the same capability. I don't know if they use it, but they have the same capability. So.
Yeah, I remember this from last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an annual kind of thing. All right.
Motion.
I'll second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. And here's another annual just before the budget, after our organization meeting, but before the budget. We do this, and this is Ordinance 1130-19. It's an ordinance to amend an ordinance entitled, good Lord, an ordinance to establish salaries, wages, and compensation ranges for non-contractual officials and employees of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, in the State of New Jersey. Some years we do this, some years we don't. We were bumping up against the upper limit of the old salary range, and Jesse and I think the Finance Committee and our CFO took a look at the ranges and have adjusted certain of the jobs.
And this is a salary range. It's not necessarily correct. What folks will make. Correct. It just provides flexibility to operate in that at a later period, usually around June, but maybe earlier than that. This year we'll do a resolution.
Yeah.
So is there an inconsistency on the hourly? The minimum, it's $8.50, and the minimum wage is $8.85. Should that minimum not be $8.50?
Is that for a rec?
No. Just normal salaries, $8.50 to $55 an hour. So the minimum wage in New Jersey is $8.85.
Oh, okay. Well, we should change that.
You can make a recommendation as part of the motion to adopt, to introduce
it. Yeah. But and then also under counselors, well, it has it at $8.85, so that one we don't have to change.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're going up, you know.
July 1st.
Yes.
But still, it's a range. Yeah, that way we cover it July 1st.
Yeah. 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 It would probably be all right with the 850, but we can change it.
Yeah, just that's the right thing to do. Yeah, I'll make a motion as long as we change that hourly to from 850 to 885.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Council President?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. And ordinance number 3, and don't let me forget the budget.
Do the budget.
Pardon?
Yeah, let's do the budget.
All right, we'll do the budget. I'm looking at my little package rather than the agenda. All right, so we need to introduce the 2019 budget, and as I said previously, the public hearing on this is May 8. And forgive me, I don't know if we...
I'll speak a little bit to it. Tom can correct me, and Jessica can correct me where I stray a little bit. For 2019, we're looking to keep all department expenditure lines, pretty much all of them, flat or down from where they were last year. As I mentioned at the last council meeting, we had a couple headcount reductions. We are planning to go to the cap. We have a tax levy proposed in this budget right now of about $8.7 million. But I think most importantly, what we're really trying to do are two things. We're trying to drive our surplus higher to improve our cash flow during the year, which is really, really important for us. And we are also, in this year's budget, trying to start the path of not spending money on capital from borrowed funds, but doing it out of cash on hand. I think in the long run, that'll be a better benefit to the township going forward. Each year, our surplus has gotten better, but I think this budget will help us immeasurably, as will the cash that we're expecting to come back in. I would say this, that if you have any questions or changes, now would be the time to do it, because we'll need a supermajority vote to adopt it in a month's time.
From my perspective, I think the Finance Committee and Jess and Lori and Chesky have done a really good job on this. And as Brian said, we still have cash flow pinch points during the course of the year, at least two, and we really do need to move away from debt when it comes to paving roads and buying the occasional pump truck and that sort of thing. And this is a good start in that regard. We have a lot of debt coming off.
Did you remember 2022, I believe it is.
I believe you're right. So we're beginning to build up in anticipation of that dropping off and not going back into the debt market to do roads and things. You need a bit of a flywheel there.
Yeah, it's hard to make good decisions for the township when you're attaching debt to that decision.
Correct.
Yeah.
So by getting away from that, I think we can make better decisions over the next, 2 to 5 years around that.
And the county did that a number of years ago, it really works well for them.
Yeah, they're in a great situation now.
And that's really where we want to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're going to need to be in that situation in the future.
Agreed.
So, Mark, you look like you might have a question.
Yeah, I'm just going through. What was the – I know most of it remained flat, and I did talk with both yourself and Jess before the meeting, but what is our increase? What are we looking at this year?
So we're going up to the tax levy. You're talking about tax levy or you're talking about total budget?
Yes, levy.
Tax levy will be about $8,699,000. And it is an increase of 0.048 cents. So it'll be roughly in line with the increase we had last year, which was driven by debt service. Debt service is going up this year as well, so we're kind of locked in with that. That's a large portion of this.
Yeah, and I understand healthcare, pension, all that stuff is always, unfortunately, always goes up. So I haven't coughed all day. It starts now. Okay.
To get healthy.
Yep. So I'll make a motion to introduce the budget, and then we'll get it posted on the website.
I'll second it.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes. That wasn't a delay.
Councilman Kosinowski?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
I knew I'd be talking too, so I figured I'd allergies <Yes. usually.
laughs> Oh, yes.
Okay. Now we're down to that last ordinance. And before we begin,
in light of the fact that we're trying to get away from using too much debt, and in light of the fact that we came in pretty well under budget on the demolition, I'd like to postpone introduction of this particular ordinance until a couple meetings at least, so we can get some price prices and estimates
the original bond was
nailed down a little bit.
The original bond was for the demolition and cleanup. It came in so good, we said, well, let's use some of that to build a pavilion, a porta potties, you know, picnic tables. We've got to re-energize the well. There's other things to do. But the bond ordinance, the original, didn't read that way. So right. We thought if we can amend it to do those things. But in the meantime, I think we can find funds from, other funding. It's not that much. So this is if we need it, we can put it off, because I think we'll be able to do those things with cash.
We'll get the bids in
Not even bids. Just get some real good
Bailey
quotes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean bids.
I think done some work with wells
elsewhere. Right. Here's everything we don't have enough money, and then.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we got this in reserve. If we can afford cash out of the open space, that's why we had that ballot question. Terrific. You won't have to wait to council meetings.
Yeah, there's other little pools too.
Okay.
I just don't want to be behind.
Yeah. No.
So we're good.
I think council's with you.
Okay.
So we'll get some idea about a better idea about the cost, and then we can move by resolution figure out where we can get the money from. Okay.
Good.
That was easy.
And
I'm going to spare you from reading the whole thing.
You were sparing you from listening.
I won't repeat that comment that you made after the discussion on open spaces. All right, we are up to vouchers, and we don't have a school board payment this time, so this is a small number, and I've looked through the details, everything seems in order, so if there's any discussion, we can have it. If not,
I'm good.
In that case, I'll make the motion this time.
Second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Hastings?
Yes. And we're up to that final public comment period. Are there any comments or questions, concerns from the public? Everybody looks satisfied, so eyes are looking left.
Yeah, Mayor, I just had two. I'm sorry. Always looking for that section of old business and new business, but Concord Road. What I think the last time we spoke, the guy didn't show up in court.
Correct. He didn't show up. So I think I'm not sure if the warrant's been issued, but that's where we go next.
Yeah, I spoke to Tom Sylvia, our zoning officer. Gosh, Tuesday or Monday, but anyway, he let me know what was going on, and I told him, talk to the lawyers.
Yeah.
At least I've had it with this guy. Doesn't show up in court, so if you swear at a bench warrant or whatever nasty thing you can do to begin, bring him to the court in handcuffs. I'm just fed up with his dilatory tactics. So it's good that you're talking about the next
thing. Yeah, we're on top of it.
Okay.
But just so you know, on that topic, most of the other folks are coming around.
Oh, real progress.
Yeah, I saw some on Hermantown, one of them.
Yeah, they're making a lot of good, so that's working, that process.
I didn't think it would be as effective, but it's really moved things along. Yeah. It's surprising what a small stimulus, relatively small, made a change there. So, real success. This gentleman is an anomaly in a lot of ways.
Yes.
The last one was, I know Councilman Kochanowski and Brian, you were also copied on that email from Red Squalls Road.
Speed bumps.
I did answer him back, but I didn't include
anyone. Yeah, perfect.
And I explained to them. I said, listen, in light of quorums and some, I didn't want to include everyone. But
and I've had many conversations with Frank about it over there. And I was CC'd, so I figured I could just kind of sit back on it.
That was fine. So I just wanted to, I told them I would bring it up and see where we stood with those speed bumps that used to be placed on Red Schoolhouse Road. They're not the permanent ones. But.
Yeah, so from my recollection, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Lieutenant, that we've had conversations here with the neighbors a number of times, and part of the problem for us is I think they cost about $5,000 to $7,000 to replace the temporary speed humps, and they've been wearing down at a pace of about four or five years.
About 3 years.
All right, 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's while they're temporary, they have a lot of wear and tear, not only on the temporary humps, but also on the road, because they get nailed into the road, which allows water to get in, create potholes and cracks. Aside from that, I've actually heard from some of the neighbors, not the ones who showed up, who didn't really care for them. So there's always a little bit of, we don't really have them in anywhere else in town, and we have to weigh, all right, if we give them the Red Schoolhouse, now who else do we need to provide? Yeah.
What's the road they speed on the most? My guess is it's not Red Schoolhouse.
You mean a township road?
Yeah.
It's
Lilac.
Lilac's one.
That is absolutely one of them.
Yeah.
Molasses Hill is pretty good.
Yeah, so you don't have as much traffic on Molasses Hill as you do on Lilac.
With short sight lines.
Yeah.
Those two humps.
Yeah. But and the humps, too, you remember, it's a big drain on public works. When they maintain them, they got to take them out for the winter because you don't want to hit them on a snow plow. And then the holes fill in. Then they got to, I mean, it's just
a sledgehammer in 18-inch spikes.
Yeah.
And then they pull it out with a backhoe.
And tear up the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done two traffic studies, and you know, the average speed one way was 29 miles an hour. The average speed the other way was 30.3 or something. Honestly, I'm amazed at how low the average speed is. There's a few outliers, you know, 62 miles an hour, some crazy thing. And one of our unnamed employees, you know, won the prize one day.
I thought there was a school bus won a prize, too.
The school bus was overall, but, you know, in terms of the car category, one of our employees took the prize on two particular days. So, but it's generally, I mean, this compared to the stories I hear on Lilac, you know, and it's...
I think a lot of times with speeding, it's a matter of perception. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You go out to get your mail, and some kid goes racing by you extremely fast. That happens two or three times over the course of 6 months or 7 months. Mm-hmm. Naturally, you're going to be alarmed and you're going to be a little angry. But then you send an officer out there for a half hour, an hour, and they come back. Sometimes they come back and say, hey, look, you know, I got a couple other people. And then other times they come back and they say, I didn't see anything.
I've actually, on my road, because there's a steep hill, an incline, and then a curve, we do sometimes get folks who come pretty fast.
Right.
But then there are other times where my kids or my wife will say, oh, that guy's speeding. I'm like, I don't, speed limit is 25. It's a narrow road. It looks fast, but I don't think it's as fast as you think it is.
That's common. It looks real fast.
Right. You're close to it, so it seems like they're going by you fast, but it's...
Well, how many times have you been driving in your personal life and someone's telling you to slow down? Mm-hmm. You think, I'm not even speeding. I'm just going to the speed limit here. Yeah.
But it does... Are you... Good with the conversation we had? Did you need?
The only one sentence I'd add is in the last, gosh, it goes back a couple of months, we had another request for speed bumps, portable speed bumps. And we get a request.
On a different road.
Yeah. We get a request maybe once or twice a year at another location. So it really could kind of, you know,
snowball.
A lot of it goes with the pay. We pave a road, everybody starts to drive faster, and then the next phone calls, when are you going to put speed bumps in?
So what can we do in absence of the speed bumps? Can we put our little speed sign there?
Yeah, we have a speed sign there.
Yeah. Oh, we do.
Permanently installed, pretty much. And I think we rotate it. So that
does that collect data with the average speed or no?
No.
It does. I thought that one did.
Cheap.
Do we have more than
very
one?
Expensive.
We had one on Beaver Avenue.
Yeah. I believe one of the ones that we picked up that was portable should collect data.
Portable.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I thought the question was the permanent one.
But I think there's one on Red Schoolhouse.
That's movable.
That's movable, yeah. That can collect data. I do believe that one can collect data.
We use that for the traffic surveys I talked about. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the cure, perhaps, we had lots and lots of complaints, Annandale on West Street. And, you know, the police went out there with two or three cars and just blitzed it for a couple of days. And honest to God, I haven't heard another complaint since. It is just, it's gone. When you create that, I don't know, aura, whatever you want to call it, where the police have been out and they've been actually writing tickets. Highbridge used to do that further down on Dewey, where it goes to 25. People still don't speed there. So enforcement tends to be, I think, It's most more effective.
Yeah. So if we could put that portable one there, collect some data for, say, a week, and that, let that number then dictate what we do next.
Yeah.
If it says we're not speeding, then we can go back to Frank easily and say, look, here's our information.
And we have a baseline already because we've collected data from there. Doug may have some knowledge.
I still have the data.
Two issues on that, and Brian touched on a good point. You know, sometimes it's the loudest voice in the room that you're hearing.
I understand.
But then you listen to the other half, and they're opposed to it.
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, what do we want? I don't want speed bumps there. And, you know, I'm hoping that that's what we've accomplished or will accomplish at LILAC. If you recall my email to the residents down there, you have to be candid with them and say you're never going to stop that.
Yeah.
But, again, if people kind of are conditioned to see the officers there or hearing that there's summonses being written there, punishment works. That's why when I was a kid, nobody wore their seatbelts, or very few people wore their seatbelts. And today, everyone wears their seatbelts. Mm-hmm. That's why our ordinances regarding the abandoned properties are working.
Yeah.
Because punishment works, even quote-unquote minor punishment. People see that you get a fine. People see that you get hauled into court. And then they realize, maybe I should just clean my property up. Punishment works.
Right. I agree. And if we were listening to the loudest voice, we would put the speed bumps in. So that's not what we're doing. But by putting that mobile thing there and getting some more data or digging up the data
not
we
bad.
Have, we could at least answer the loudest voice
I'll
make it not loud.
I'll send the data.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got it in my email. I'll send the
but
data.
It's good to get new, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
Get new and use the old ones if it's possible.
Certainly.
No,
absolutely.
And then Mark or I can get back to Frank. Yeah. Here it is.
You just don't want to get into a every year prove the same thing to the same person.
Right.
That individual's been...
Well, have we proven it to him before?
With the data.
Yeah.
He's been arguing about speed bumps.
So we should be able to dig that email up.
I have it.
Okay.
I'll send it.
So we just forward it to him again. Nothing's changed.
He's complained as long as I can remember about speed bumps on Red Schoolhouse. I mean, that's playing to the squeaky wheel to some degree.
All right.
But to keep on topic, but slightly different, any update on there was a lady, a resident a few months back, who had complained about speeding on Stanton-Lebanon Road.
Yes. I haven't heard another word about it.
School bus issues.
The other officers were familiar with her. I forget, one of the officers said that they were actually friendly with the kids and everything.
Yep.
They were down there so much. And I haven't heard another word about it.
Okay.
And now we're off to LILAC in the summertime. I can guarantee you we're going to be down by Camp Carr where people are going to be complaining. And
I just wanted to make sure there hasn't been any new occurrences. I've been careful myself.
There hasn't. I guess, Jess, you got some complaints about David Post Road. And Doug, we're going to go back and look at the emails and the photographs that we took of the speed signs up there in October. So it's definitely cyclical.
Yeah. And I would say if David Post has got a lot of potholes, I'm surprised anybody speeds.
That's very difficult on that road. You reminded me, if permit one additional thing. You may or may not know that the neighbors to Hyonis had taken their own action with the administrative law judge, and I was subpoenaed and did appear down at Hamilton last Thursday, I think it was. Wednesday, excuse me, for the day. And they're still pursuing some sort of additional remedy relative to traffic and Hyonis. This is the fourth or fifth ALJ that's worked on the thing. It sounds like she's going to stay with it and maybe bring it to a close. It's, I think that proceeding began about 2013.
Well, we've come full circle with the conversation. Jess and I took a field trip up there Monday, I guess it was. I don't know what it is, but the flag lot entrance off of Blossom Hill is being used and worked on.
That's the camp.
That's the camp.
That's
the flag lot that you and I drove back down.
The north side is not the flag. Their flag lot is on the south side of the road. But the Baptist camp is approved for additional residence construction.
And then the easement that runs back behind the house is separate.
Well, there's no easement. There's a path.
The path. Okay. That appears as though it's being used, but I guess that's being used by the Baptist camp because they own it.
Correct. The resident manager's house is on that parcel, and the path is to the left of that house.
And as I'm sure you're aware, Glen Eagles is being worked on.
It's a beehive of activity between water main and water meter replacement work in that neighborhood.
Yes.
And then the construction on the Baptist campus.
So then when everything is done, that's going to be a freshly paved road, I believe.
I think the cycle is, and there's been a fair amount of work and history on this, there have been a lot of water main breaks. So Clinton Town was kind enough to advance their construction cycle. And we did survey work for the neighborhood. So we threw in, Kathy Marcelli threw in the survey work. And these kinds of things, you normally dig the trench, put the pipe in, put some rough pavement over it, let it settle for a winter. And then what we've said, and we have all the plans for this, is we would reconstruct the pathway in. And I can never remember, it's Muirfield and Glen Eagles. I can't remember which one is which. But from Blossom Hill, we would build up those roads, those two streets, right into High Onis to county specs. And that development was built in the early 70s, 1969, 1971. And it's just a little bit of asphalt on dirt. There's no undercourse or anything.
Well, in fact, in tearing up the asphalt, they had kept damaging the cables that go underneath of it.
Oh, son of a gun.
Because the requirements are that the cables only have to be directly under the asphalt. So in pulling it up, they had to have, I don't want to misstate the facts, but the wiring that's crossing the road had gotten pulled up a couple of times.
Oh, gee whiz.
But,
well, the casualties of war, I guess. But, I mean, everybody will be better off. The meters are a different design. They're going to be installed at the curb, so they're easy to read. And hopefully we won't have any additional leaks in the neighborhood for a good long time.
My hope is that it doesn't create a racetrack. It doesn't create a better avenue for the trucks to go up and down the road.
How would I say this? The trucks I've observed are kind of idling along in second gear, you know, like 5 miles an hour.
Well, and you recall we had the sensors out there for that.
Yep. I mean, it's not speeding. It's
presence.
Yeah. There's I responded to a particular complaint about trailer trucks. And you know, some of the testimony at that hearing, the neighbors commissioned a traffic expert. And what they did is they put a motion-sensitive camera out there for 7 weeks. And they averaged between, as I recall, 0 and 3 trailer trucks per week in that seven-week period. So that at least at that point in time, the large truck traffic was sort of de minimis. And secondly, that particular street, Muirfield, Glen Eagles, whichever one dead ends into High Onis, that never had a cul-de-sac. It's zoned residential, not RON. So that, it appears, judging by the history that I listened to, that they envisioned additional development by extending that street. And under questioning, their traffic expert basically, you know, you could derive the numbers. If they had built houses out there, those homes would generate more traffic than is being seen today.
Right.
And what's objectionable are those the semis.
Yeah. On another note, I sat in on the municipal court.
Oh, good for you.
I think it's our duty every now and then to pop in. So I was happy to do that, and I'll do it anytime.
Did you find parking?
To do it.
Did you find parking?
Yeah, I got there early. And so our prosecutor wasn't there, but we had a substitute, Carl Taylor, who did a fine job. And I think Judge Perkins and our public defender and Carl are doling out justice properly.
It goes quick.
Yeah, but they're not like too easy, but they're not too hard. They're looking at it from what I think is the right view. Yeah.
Good for you. I spent one day with Kathy Erickson, our prosecutor, and really felt the same way.
Yeah.
You know, there's no fooling around, but we're not in the fundraising business.
Right, and I guess the good thing I took out of it was there was an issue with the state police had to come, and they respect our court. And I think the local cops do as well. You might tell me differently, but I got that impression, and I think that's important for the prosecutor to have all that working together. So, that's that. I should have done that with reports.
Well, I've forgotten too, so you got one. Yeah. So.
All right. Councilman Strauss.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining. Terrific.